Hear that? Believe it or not, summer is just around the corner. Luckily, Armor All, America's most trusted auto appearance brand, has what your car needs to get that perfect summer shine. Plus, now through May 31st, we'll give you $5 for every $20 you spend on Armor All products. That means car wash pods, protectant, tire shine, you name it. Find out how to get your $5 rebate at ArmorAll.com. Armor All. Less work, more clean. Terms apply.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
In today's show, we cover the five biggest news stories from the world of Formula One. This week are Binotto's out, now what next for Ferrari? Ricciardo's back home, but should he ever have left? The future's bright, the future's British racing green. If I had to do the same again, I might not, my friend Fernando. And new looks in F2, F3 and FE.
Listening to the fantastic Cut to the Race podcast.
Hello, my name is Brian Mylander, and you're listening to the Formula Words podcast.
Hi, I'm Rosanna Tennant, and you are listening to the incredible Cut to the Race podcast.
Hi, I'm Jordan King, and you're listening to Formula Nerds podcast.
Hi, I'm Crofty. You're listening to the Cut to the Race podcast. It's lights out, and away we go.
Welcome to News from the Nerds, the midweek news show brought to you by the Formula Nerds. Every Wednesday, we update you on everything you need to know from the world of F1. We are the Formula Nerds news team. Make sure you keep up to date with all the latest news by visiting our website at formulanerds.com. I'm James, and I sincerely apologise for the ABBA reference in that intro. As ever, I'm joined by Sam, who I presume hated that pun at least as much as the Hulk one last week.
I'm particularly pleased that you decided to apologise before I had a chance to chastise you for it. But I like the continuation from ABBA, obviously, being a livery, a sponsor on which team's livery was it from the quiz?
ATG, I want to say.
Was it ACS, I think. Anyway.
AGS.
But yeah, ABBA once featured on an F1 livery, which is our fun fact for the day.
Yeah. Just to clarify, I'm not an ABBA fan. My girlfriend's entire family are, so I guess that's just been hammered into my head. But from ABBA to Abby. Abby, how are you?
I'm very well, thank you. How are you?
I'm good. I'm getting all my dodgy segues out of the way in this show. And finally, we have the comeback king. It's back again. Bridge, how is it going?
I'm all good. Yeah, I'm making a habit out of these comebacks, aren't I? I only pop up every couple of weeks. But I'm all good. How are you, James? No one's asked you that.
I'm good. We'll get underway with you, Bridge, and some news about your beloved Scuderia.
Yes. Well, alas, it is finally official. Ferrari team principal, or ex-team principal, shall I say now, Mattia Binotto will be leaving the team with immediate effect, ending his stint as the big boss at Maranello. In a statement release on Tuesday morning, Binotto has said that he is obviously very sad to be leaving the team. He has been a part of for 28 years, but has made every effort to achieve the objectives set to him in that time. So obviously it's sad to see him go, and we wish him all the best. But now, guys, it is time to talk replacements. Obviously, there's been several big names that have reportedly been approached for the position, including McLaren's André Seidel, who has already turned it down, Red Bull's Christian Horner, which is a surprise to us all, I think, and even the recently retired Ross Brawn, who we all know has a decorated past with Ferrari already. But the most realistic choice appears to be Alfa Romeo's Fred Vasseur, who will reportedly be announced as the new Ferrari boss in the new year, according to Sky Sports. Now, I'll throw it to the floor. What do you think about this move from Binotto, and what will Vasseur have to do to make this Ferrari team work?
I think for Binotto, it's the right time for him to leave. Obviously, 2022 started off on a great foot for the team. They were fighting at the front, fighting for the championship, and then things went downhill, obviously. Like Leclerc said that they can't forget their mid-season issues. They have to overcome them. And I am sad to see Binotto go. He seems like a lovely guy, but I feel for Ferrari it is the right step. They need to, with Vasseur coming in, what they need to do is just make sure that they continue going forward, because yes, 2022 didn't go quite how they liked, but it is a step forward from previous years. So whoever comes in as Binotto's replacement just needs to make sure that they don't go backwards and that Ferrari continue going forwards.
Yeah, I mean, it kind of feels quite harsh on Binotto. Like, and I think I said at the time it felt like an inevitability, like it had to happen. But obviously they've had a lot of problems this year. But when you look at them compared to where they were in the last 2 years, it's, you know, they produced arguably the best car at the start of the new regulations, at least for the first half of the season. So yeah, I don't know. For me, I think it would have been great if Binotto could have stayed on in some kind of technical role rather than leaving entirely, but maybe that's a tricky thing to achieve. How do you go from team principal to any other role?
Yeah, it kind of somewhat implies that there's stuff going on behind the scenes that we don't necessarily know about. Has his relationship with Charles Leclerc broken down to the extent that has been rumoured? Or another rumour that's been circulating is that he hasn't made the changes that need to be made in order to make the team more functional and perform at a higher level, which obviously has been their biggest issue this year. The car is a quick car. It's the strategy calls, it's other blunders. So is it maybe stuff in that kind of realm that he hasn't been clinical enough to do, which means that you need to kind of, yeah, change the direction, bring someone else in who maybe is willing to make those tough calls?
I think especially for Ferrari, they need someone who can just complete that last piece of the puzzle. Because obviously, you know, the past few years before the regulations, they struggled with the car. You know, they had the drivers, but they didn't have the car to keep up with the likes of Red Bull and Mercedes. Now they have those two pieces of the puzzle. On track is sorted. They just now need to sort out what's happening off track. And I think man management is just what they need. As a Ferrari fan, it hurts a little bit to not see an Italian be in that role and do that role well. And I'm sure it hurts Binotto as well. Obviously, you know, being an Italian, that's part of the whole culture of being an Italian, is that, you know, you're a Ferrari fan, you're born and bred. So the fact it hasn't really worked out is really sad. But yeah, hopefully Vasseur can come in, if it is Vasseur, and he's already got that pre-existing relationship with Charles from his days at Sauber. So, you know, hopefully it's up and up from there.
The thing with Vasseur, I read that he told a media outlet that all good projects have been built around a reference driver. And whilst it is good that he has that relationship with Leclerc, it does raise questions as to how Sainz would fit into that and whether he would focus on Leclerc being the number one driver and kind of just Sainz as the number two, because I don't see Sainz settling for number two. I see Leclerc and Sainz being equal. So it'll be interesting to see how the dynamic, if Vasseur does come in, would work.
Sainz has been slept on at every stop of his F1 career, and he's often been kind of disregarded as someone who isn't able to compete with the quote-unquote elite talent within the sport. So I think for him, it's just a case of saddle up, prove yourself again. And, you know, to get to an elite level of sport, you need to have that mentality anyway. So I think he'll kind of rise to the challenge. And it might cause tensions within the scene, but it also could get the best out of both Charles and Carlos.
Yeah, totally. I mean, if Carlos shows up and wins three of the first four races, he's not going to be a number two driver, is he? Yeah, it could be an interesting thing for Vasseur, if that is the way things go, to have to deal with early on. But from old faces leaving to old faces returning, Abby.
Yeah, so as everyone in the F1 world should know by now, Daniel Ricciardo is rejoining Red Bull Racing as their reserve driver, their third driver. And he said that it feels like he's going home. And Zak Brown, obviously of McLaren, has said that he thinks that with Ricciardo rejoining Red Bull, it gives him the best opportunity. It's the best option for Ricciardo to take a year out, be with Red Bull, be the third driver, because he feels that Ricciardo could potentially do what Nick De Vries did this year. If Verstappen or Perez were unable to race, Ricciardo could step in, get into that racey, and then he could become hot property if he shows what talent he has. But it was interesting because Verstappen has said that Ricciardo should never have left Red Bull when he did in 2018. He said that he should have stayed. And Red Bull wanted Ricciardo to be happy. They all wanted the best for him. And he felt that that was for Ricciardo to stay with Red Bull. So do you guys agree with Verstappen? Should Ricciardo ever have left? And do you think that being a reserve driver, which Lewis Hamilton said Ricciardo is too talented a role, well, Ricciardo is too talented to be the reserve driver, do you think that gives him the best option?
I think for Ricciardo, it is, you know, he wants to stay on the merry-go-round. He wants to stay in the circus. So absolutely, you know, even being a reserve driver is the best opportunity for him. I don't agree with Max at all. I think Red Bull made very clear that Max was their future. You know, when you sign someone that young and you put, you say all these things in the media that determine that he is your future, you're alienating that second driver. I mean, we've seen it with everyone that stepped into that second seat at Red Bull. So for someone like Daniel and for someone as talented as Daniel, he needed to move. He needed to go somewhere else. But I think it's just bad luck that's followed him around to all these other teams. Renault probably should have worked out for him, but again, bad luck plagued him there. And then, you know, he made a great move to McLaren and Lando Norris comes out of nowhere and starts being, you know, one of the best drivers on the grid. So it's, yeah, it's all bad luck, I think.
I agree with Bridge, but I also don't agree with Bridge at the same time. You know, people are incredibly perceptive. I think Daniel could tell that the tides were turning against him at Red Bull. And especially what's difficult is it's not like he came in to that team and knew that he had to compete with Verstappen. He was the future at Red Bull. And then Verstappen comes along. Obviously, he gets promoted sooner than, and you know, initially planned. And there was kind of nowhere left for him to develop from there. So I think the move to Renault was absolutely the right move. I think we maybe remember that time more unfavorably than is fair. You know, he got podiums for them. He was very competitive, especially in 2020. The move to McLaren, in hindsight, was a mistake. He maybe didn't give the Renault project long enough. And also, it's not that he came into McLaren and Lando was just better. He came into McLaren and he underperformed whilst Lando outperformed that car. So it was a catalogue of things that kind of has led to this point. But he absolutely made the right call to leave Red Bull. You've got to gamble. Some drivers get lucky. Lewis went to Mercedes at the right time. Fernando Alonso has maybe been unlucky in some of his career moves. And that's a part of what separates a world champion who's got four or five championships and say Fernando who's got two. It was career moves.
And you guys have pretty much covered everything I was going to say point by point, one by one. But yeah, I know it's where Danny is in his career now. He, like you say, needs to stay relevant. And there's no way he would have expected to leave Red Bull and be coming back, 4 years later in a reserve role. But yeah, it does keep you relevant. We've seen you can get your way back into a seat. You can, okay, people leaving through COVID is less likely in terms of super sub appearances now, but it looks like he's got the deal he wanted as well. He doesn't want to go to all 24 races. He'll be doing a lot of promotional stuff. He's obviously such a great character for the Red Bull team. So I think it works out for everyone. At this point, it was definitely better than kind of going around in a car towards the back.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's kazoo concert in Kansas City, go Kevin, or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Moving on from the Constructors' champions to the team that finished seventh but have far bigger ambitions for the future, Aston Martin. And those ambitions are in part due to their new Game Changer factory. The perennial underdogs, as Jordan, Force India and so on, now have significant funding from Lawrence Stroll, and the goal is to have the 37,000 square metre site around the existing factory at Silverstone up and running, at least in part, by next year. Stroll explained he wanted the factory to be the reverse of what Ron Dennis did with the McLaren Technology Centre, prioritising function over aesthetics. It's being built in three chunks, the first of which is set to be completed in May. That will be the main building for the race team, where the car will be designed and out of which all the major operations will be conducted. Second building will be home to the new wind tunnel, that's set for 2024. And the third, an employee experience and event space. It all sounds great in principle, but more importantly, will it have the desired effect on their performance?
I mean, it sounds amazing. Like you say, it sounds great. It sounds like it's going to be a great facility for people to work at. It's obviously attracted, you know, Fernando Alonso to join them next year. But, you know, having the best facilities doesn't necessarily mean you're going to build the best car. I mean, I've been a Ferrari fan for years, so I'm, you know, I'll give you firsthand experience of that. But it's going to be difficult, I think. It's to say they're going to challenge, you know, towards the top when they finish where they finish this year, maybe a bit too big of a step. But, you know, I'm hopeful because, you know, the more teams we have fighting at the front, the more exciting it is for us. So hopefully it's not all just claims.
Well, Sergio Perez certainly has faith in Aston Martin. Like you said, Britt, he said that they'll be fighting at the front with Carlos and with Red Bull. And I think I said on the race review last time that Aston Martin have this amazing potential to do really well. I think Lawrence Stroll said that they had a five-year plan to create a race-winning car, a championship-winning car. And by the looks of this factory with the three buildings and having bridges connecting them and everything that's involved, it certainly seems like they are very dedicated and on that route to actually become champions. But I don't think 2023 will see them quite at the front of the field like some people are expecting. I think it will take time and a lot of effort, but it certainly seems that Aston Martin are definitely on their way.
Yeah, to me it feels a little bit like Sergio Perez is being strategically complimentary as he tries to shore up his next career move, perhaps. But
that's a good point. I hadn't thought about that.
Absolutely.
Yeah, you know, you've always got to play the politics in F1. But for me, I said this the other day, the Aston Martin project, them breaking through into a top team feels more like a when rather than an if, whereas you've got some other teams who are maybe ahead of them in the midfield who, I don't know, I'm not as convinced that they will get to where they're all obviously trying to go. So, yeah, I think it's an exciting time for Aston Martin. It maybe is, too soon next year to expect them to be there. But, you know, who wouldn't love to see British Racing Green at the front of the field? I know that I would have loved for Jaguar to have been there in their few years in the sport, but hopefully Aston Martin can crack through.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see where they go. I mean, Lawrence Stroll doesn't strike you as someone who's going to accept failure. And he doesn't also seem like someone who's going to bail out of the project because obviously he's very invested financially, but also with his son in the seat. And it seems to be their dream as a family. But does he have the expertise? Will it be a case of maybe repeatedly it not quite going right? And yeah, I mean, it seems like a fairly logical thing. And the five-year plan that you mentioned, Abby, we'll just have to wait and see. It's so hard to predict. Everyone thought McLaren were going to keep their upward trajectory and then they kind of obviously didn't really nail the regulations in the same way that people thought they might this year.
I mean, we spoke about needing to make the kind of critical and difficult decisions earlier on in the podcast. You very much get the impression that Lawrence Stroll is someone who will do that. A year ago, we thought him replacing Otmar Safnauer was a crazy move. And, you know, it still, you know, it raised eyebrows, and understandably so. But it shows that he is willing to make tough calls if he feels he needs to. So yeah, you're going to get a few of those wrong, but you need to get fewer right, and ultimately to be able to then kind of progress through the field. So yeah, you can expect him to be very much on it in that sense.
I know we hate saying it, but running teams like a business historically has done very well. Chris Horner runs his team like a business. Toto Wolff runs his team like a business, and you know, they get the results. Lawrence Stroll is running his team exactly the same way. I feel like he runs it like a businessman. So it'll be hard to argue if he does get the results.
Did you just say Chris Horner?
I was about to say Christian Horner.
He's saved in my phone as Chris. I'm sorry.
Overly familiar.
Apologies. Well, Christian Horner.
I mean, it would be, of course, great news for a certain Fernando Alonso if they were fighting at the front. Sam, I know you're expecting big things from this segue, but one of my last of the year was probably the easiest, too easy, if anything. Alonso will start afresh with Aston next year, and as we know, he hasn't left Alpine on the best terms. Things boiled over as he and teammate Esteban Ocon came together twice in Brazil, and now with Alonso out the door, Ocon hasn't been holding back. In a recent interview with a French newspaper, he said, "To be honest, I did 98% of the work and he did 2%. I was overworked, I did all the development work in the simulator, and I also did the marketing activities. It's good that he's going to Aston Martin and that we can each go our own way." No love lost there. What do you make of all of that? Do you believe him?
I mean, sorry to jump in on something unrelated, but I do need to address the segue. If it was a good segue, I would have let the ABBA to Abbey slide from what you said earlier, but I'm going to have to raise a formal complaint on that one. That was,
It's too really easy. You can't make a good segue when it's about a driver leaving a team you're already talking about.
Fair. But yeah, anyway, I'll step back out now that I've made my point.
Yeah, I think we've obviously seen on-track tensions between Ocon and Alonso, and we've heard from numerous sources that Ocon isn't exactly the easiest driver to get along with as a teammate, but I don't think Alonso is either. But you're always going to get some tension between teammates. They're never going to be best friends. I think to say I did 98% of the work and Alonso did 2%, we would never really know whether that's true or not. I feel like Ocon may have done more of the work, but I don't think it's quite just Alonso doing 2%. Maybe going to Aston Martin and leaving Alpine, both of them going their separate ways, is a good thing, because then we can actually see them not become like best friends, but kind of have a amicable relationship and fight normally on track. But yeah, I don't really know about what Ocon said. It's difficult to say whether I believe it completely or not.
I mean, it's almost certainly hyperbole, right? But it feels a little bit like those comments that Alonso made after the Brazilian Grand Prix have somewhat festered, and Ocon's kind of been this kind of been sitting there, this residual kind of resentment, and he thought, "Nah, I'm going to say something." And yeah, I mean, I don't 98-2 is, you know, a very stark difference, so I don't think that is based in reality, but I can imagine there's potentially an element of Alonso turns up, has this gravitas about him, maybe at this stage in his career isn't investing as much as Ocon is in the team and kind of, you know, in that development work, and so Ocon maybe feels a little bit kind of hard done by the fact that, again, yeah, it's like Alonso's coming as the star pupil and has just aced his exams, whereas Ocon's done all of this revision. So I think that's probably where you've got some of that from with Ocon. But it creates an intriguing narrative going into next season. So, you know, let the tension grow.
I think Fernando was very clear on his frustrations with that Alpine this year. I think I lost count of how many times, you know, he went out when it wasn't his fault. I don't know where he'd be in the championship, depending on, you know, all those points that he lost out on. And I think, you know, even if he did take a seat back, a bit of a backseat on the development of the car, that, you know, these guys are highly, highly competitive. And if he knew early in the year, right, I'm sick of this, I'm going. If he knew that, you know, knowing Alonso and knowing that he's this ultimate competitor, maybe you would do 2% of the work and not, you know, push Alpine and give his word on different bits and pieces if he already knows he's off somewhere else.
Yeah, no, I agree with that. And I mean, we've seen him burn bridges in a front-running car just through spite. So it wouldn't be a surprise. It's amazing how far they've fallen since their, you know, halcyon days of that win in Hungary. And it all seemed like it was going perfectly. But we'll move on. And whilst we're all having to get used to Alonso in green next year, there are plenty more changes afoot in the Junior Series and a bigger change for Formula E as a whole. Isn't that right, Sam?
Yes, absolutely. So I'll start with Formula E, because at the dawn of Gen 3, Season 9, there has been a rebrand, which is very exciting. It, you know, lots of comments on social media say that it looks quite Eurovision-esque, which I feel like many people were rightly a fan of. So that's good to see. So yeah, exciting times for that series. And also a little segue, or kind of a crossover, I think is more appropriate, between Formula 2 and Formula E, is the latest Formula E and the last driver to be announced for the grid for Gen 3 is Jake Hughes. So he'll be joining the McLaren team, which obviously has taken over the Mercedes entry for next season. He had half a year with VAR in F2 this season, performed really valiantly in a team that was new to the series, stepped away mid-season to focus on Formula E. For a while had his eyes set on the all-electric championship. So it's really good to see that he's managed to get that seat. He was up against some other very formidable drivers, Oliver Turvey, for example, who has plenty of experience in the series. So that's really good news for him. But also there are changes in Formula 2 and Formula 3. And this one as well is another really positive development. So PHM Racing has taken over Shrews' entry. They're still going to be working together. So it'll be PHM Racing by Shrews. And what's notable about this is that PHM Racing is actually the only non-profit team on the grid, which is an exciting advancement in my view. What do you guys think? Do you think we could see more of this to come, especially obviously with drivers paying their way in Formula 2 and Formula 3?
I certainly think so. I think with PHM, they came third and second in three different Formula 4 championships. So I think coming into Formula 2 and Formula 3, there will be high expectations. I think depending on their performance, we'll see whether more non-profit organisations come in, but it is certainly a step forward for the feeder series. And it will be interesting to see how PHM and Shrews work together. And obviously they've announced their drivers, I believe, Roy Nissany and Brad Benavides, who will be making the move up to F3. So I'm glad that Benavides is moving up and Nissany obviously still has a seat. So it'll be interesting to see how the partnership works. Going back to the Formula E news, it is great to see Jake Hughes get a seat. As you said, Sam, he did leave F2 midway through the season. And it's nice to see that his focus on Formula E has worked and he's paid off and he's actually got a seat with McLaren, which as a new season, a new era, a new team, it will be great to see. And with the logo, I think it's actually quite nice because you're coming into the Gen 3 era. You've got a new grid, new teams, new drivers, new city. So it kind of, it marks the fresh start for the championship.
Oh, completely. And yeah, with Jake Hughes, I actually sat down with him over the weekend of the London E Prix last year. And he had just recovered from COVID. So he was missing the F2 round in Hungary. We spoke about, you know, his season so far and that focus on Formula E. And then, you know, obviously a few weeks later, it was announced that he wouldn't be returning to VAR for the second half of the F2 season. So yeah, really great news there. Nissany and Benavides, an interesting blend of youth and experience there. So hopefully that kind of is a productive lineup for them. They had a strong year with Enzo Fittipaldi, Shrews did in F2. But again, it is the silly season for F2 and F3. So Christian Mansell as well, who, again, another link here, did race around four Shrews in F3 last season. He has been announced as a Campos Racing driver in F3 next season. Performed really well at testing in Jerez in September. And I think, yeah, he'll be one to watch for sure.
Yeah, you've covered pretty much everything. I'll give my take on the new logo. I think it was a bit of a weird move to go to handwritten. It doesn't feel very electric to me. But I think some people were overly harsh on it online. I think it's a pretty decent one. And I think the new graphics that they've leaked, to be honest. But yeah, the new graphics that are kicking around on the internet look great as well. So that'd be brilliant for the coverage.
They're really good. I think the logo is a bit of a grower. I think with time, people will be like, actually, no, I do really like it. But new things always take a bit of time to get used to, right?
Yeah, well, I'll tell you what, you kind of worked me into a segue there, Sam. You'll be pleased to know. We're talking about the start of a new era for Formula E. But this might be the end, somewhat, of the new show for this year. If there is some huge news, we'll be back to tell you all about it. But F1 looks set to head quietly into Christmas this year, and we'll be doing the same. Thank you so much for listening. Be sure to head over to formulanerds.com and all the Formula Nerds socials to find out the latest on these and any other stories. And whilst it's good night for now from the new show, we will be back with the Cut to the Race podcast. It was the first half of our season review last weekend, and we'll be finishing it off this weekend. Then we have a Formula Nerds award show and some very exciting guests waiting in the wings. Maybe people who are less busy at this time of year. Who knows? But anyway, for now, Sam, Abby, Bridge, thanks for joining me throughout the year.
Thank you for hosting us.
Yeah, thank you. It's been fun talking about all the news with you guys.
Yeah, thank you for the opportunity to come back once again.
It's been great to have you back, Bridge, and to have you most of the time, Sam and Abby. But yeah, until... You're welcome. Until whenever we do come back, it's lights out, mics off, and away we go until maybe 2023. See you then.
You're listening to the Cut to the Race podcast. It's lights out and away we go.
Sports Social Podcast Network.